Our next teacher comes to us from Arizona and is a good friend of our fellowship here, but we're very blessed to welcome Reverend Verdicchio. Mike?
Please be seated. God bless you all. I am just very blessed to be here for this weekend. My wife Kathy sends her love, and what a great topic, the Christian family. This teaching I'm going to share is really applicable for everyone in God's family, whether you're single, married, parents, old, young, doesn't matter. We are going to look at staying faithful to God's word regardless of the culture. And I think Will was sharing earlier today about Moses' parents and the culture they lived in. They were slaves, and then now you can't have any children that are males. They need to be killed. What a lousy culture to live in. And yet in that culture, Moses' parents stayed faithful to God and his word, and the result was that wonderful son, Moses. How about the culture in Noah's day? That was pretty lousy. In Genesis it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." A lousy culture to live in. And yet in that culture, Noah stayed faithful to God and his word. And it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus Christ's day, it was a spiritual mess with the religious leaders. And then, of course, Roman occupation, you know, Roman soldiers running around everywhere. What a lousy culture that was to live in. And yet Jesus Christ stayed faithful to God's word. And in Paul's day, like Steve was just mentioning that, the pagan cities that he traveled to, the cultures they lived in, and yet through it all, through his whole life, Paul stayed faithful to God's word. But we know we're not living in Bible times or Bible cultures. Understanding Bible times and cultures helps us many times in understanding the scriptures, but we don't live then, do we? We live now. We live here in the United States of America. And likewise, believers living in other parts of the world, they are dealing with their own culture. So we have to deal with the culture we have here now in the United States. People in other countries have to deal with their culture. I'm very hopeful and prayerful for the country of North Korea, the things that are going on now. You know, they're only allowed to worship the leader of the country. That's all you can worship, Kim Jong-un. It's like a divinity. Bibles, these things that we have on our lap, or, you know, apps and different versions, and all, totally illegal in North Korea. If you are caught with a Bible, you are arrested, many times tortured, and sometimes killed, carried out to three generations. Imagine living in that culture. There are stories of the school teachers in North Korea tell the children to go home and look for certain books and then come back and tell the teacher if they find those books. And there are stories of children that just do that, and then they come home after school and their parents are gone. Imagine trying to stay faithful to God and his word in that kind of a culture. My goodness. So, but we have our culture to live with, our challenges, and anyone with any spiritual perception at all can see that there's a lot of things going on in our culture. It didn't start overnight, and it seems though in the last few years it's picked up quite a bit of steam, and I could now list a whole bunch of things that are going on in our country and maybe even around the world that, you know, are attacks to seek to eliminate Christian values and morals. And I could list a whole bunch of things, but I don't see any profit in doing that. I think there's a balance between getting wrapped up in and stressed out about every single thing that's spiritually dark that's going on in the country. That there's a balance between getting wrapped up into everything that's going on and, on the other hand, being totally oblivious. Like, there's nothing going wrong. You know, everything's fine. You know, I'll just go about my business and pretend that nothing's going on. There is a balance. But I think what's most important is that as a believer, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a Christian, am I going to stay faithful to God's word regardless of where the culture goes? As a married couple, are we going to stay faithful to God's word regardless of what the culture promotes? As parents, are we going to stay faithful to teach our children God's word regardless of what the culture we're living in is doing? And I wanted to start in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary. It makes it very personal, doesn't it? Your adversary. There's no question who the adversary is. Your adversary, the devil. And the devil is very real. I don't know, some people go, oh, those are Christians. They talk about the devil, the guy, the red guy with the horns and the pitchfork, and, you know, it's just some make-believe stuff. Well, you know, when Zacharias was carrying out his priestly duties, and an angel came and talked to him, and then after talking to him for a while, then the angel went, you know what? I'm Gabriel. That's who I am. That's who's talking. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and he sent me here to talk to you. It's the same angel that was sent to Mary as well. So an angel is not a human being, right? An angel is a spirit being. So there are spirit beings. And originally, if you know some of the background behind this in the Bible, originally there were three top angels, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. And Lucifer rebelled and took one third of those angels with him. And so the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, that is our adversary. He's referred to by a number of descriptive names in the Bible, like serpent, dragon, accuser, tempter. Jesus Christ referred to him as the devil, Satan, liar, murderer, thief. We know in Corinthians it tells us that we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, we're going to come back to this verse, but I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And again, we are looking at staying faithful regardless of what happens in our culture. How do we do that? Ephesians chapter 6. And let's start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his methods. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the battle is. It's a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle, and we have a spiritual enemy, our adversary, the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, or believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, that's cool. Praying in the Spirit, since it's a spiritual battle, that makes sense, doesn't it? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As a believer, whether we are single, married, parent, young, old, God tells us, put on the whole armor of God. And so, as a single believer, I put on the whole armor of God. As a married believer, honey, we both need to put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't matter. It's applicable to all of us. So, we know who our enemy is. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, God gives us some great insight on exactly how he operates. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And it says in verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve or deceived Eve. Through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is exactly how our adversary works. This is how he works in individual lives, and this is how he works in societies and in culture. Through his subtlety, sneaky, deceiving, a little at a time, a little at a time. What was that thing? Wasn't that from, what movie was that? A little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down? That's right. You know, if you ever had an animal that you need to give him a, we had a dog a long time ago, we had to give him these pills when he was sick, so we'd mask it with some ground beef. Here. The dog was smarter than that, though. Just ground beef went down, pill went on the floor. We should be so smart, right, with the adversary. Spit the stuff out. But this is how he works, a little at a time. The adversary, our enemy, our personal adversary, he infiltrates cultures. He deceives believers and unbelievers alike. Nothing has changed since Genesis 3. We heard that a little earlier. Genesis 3, nothing's changed. Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Look at 1 Timothy 4. We're going to go a little deeper now. We have an enemy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Know the truth. Well, we know the truth when we know God's word, when we understand rightly the scriptures. Verse 1 again, it says, some shall depart from the faith. And the definite article is there. And when it is there, it means the right way as opposed to all other ways. So departing from the right way of believing. And the word depart means to withdraw. They withdraw or move away from the right way of believing. Why? Well, it tells us right there in that verse. Some shall depart from the right way of believing because they're giving heed to, they are listening to, they are considering information from seducing spirits. The word seducing is the Greek word, we get the English word planet. It's planos, planeo, and it means basically to wander, to wander. And that's the function of those seducing spirits, to get people to wander. Well, sometimes, you know, we refer to people that are, well, I don't know, sometimes people that are off, he's out in left field. He's out in space somewhere, you know, wandering. Giving heed to, considering information from seducing spirits that cause people to wander. The reason people withdraw or move away from the right way of believing is because they give heed to, they listen to, and consider what these seducing spirits promote, which deceives them, and then they accept these devilish doctrines or devilish teachings. It says in Corinthians, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How does our enemy blind people's minds? By things promoted to them by seducing spirits. People listen, they consider, and then they give heed to them. You know, we understand from the scriptures that we're saved by grace. We think we just heard that not too long ago, right? A few minutes ago from Aaron. We're saved by grace, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be what? Saved. Yes, we understand that. And there are some Christians that go, well, yes, of course, but, you know, you have to be a good person, too. I mean, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to, you know, you need to you better pray, right? You got to read your Bible. You need to attend on a regular basis, and you need to, you know, do some of these characteristics that would, you know, exemplify yourself as a Christian. I mean, there are certain things you need to do, and of course, there are things you should not do. You know, you got to stay away from this. And before you know it, you are no longer saved by grace, but you're saved by works, by doing these things and not doing those things. That is being withdrawn or moved away from the truth. People say, well, the Bible, yeah, that's a pretty nice book there. You know, it's got a lot of great history in it. You know, good philosophical stuff. Some nice proverbs that you can read. Those are kind of cool, like those. But of course, let's be real here. It's an old book, right? Certainly not the final authority on truth. It was written by men. It contradicts itself. And certainly not applicable for our modern times. Do you know that last month GQ magazine published a list, I think it was a list of 20 classic books from the list of whatever they are, classics. GQ last month published a list, I think it was 20 classic books that you do not need to read before you die. You don't need to read these classic books before you die. At number 12, the Bible. The Bible. This is a quote from GQ on what, because they listed them all, said something about the book, and then said, you ought to read this one instead. So for the Bible, this is what they said. I'm quoting from GQ. There are some good parts, but overall, it is certainly not the finest thing that man has ever produced. It is repetitive, self-contradictory, sententious, foolish, and even at times, ill-intentioned. I had to look up sententious because I didn't know what it meant. It means abounding in excessive moralizing. That's what those brilliant people said about the Word of God that we love. That is devilish teaching promoted by seducing spirits. GQ failed to mention these facts. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. It's the best-selling book of the year, every year, and that is why the Bible is actually excluded from book bestseller lists, because it would be on the top every year. A recent survey showed that 50 Bibles are sold every minute. 73,000 sold every day. 26 million a year. And the top bestsellers combined sell about 12 million a year. So, infiltration of culture to get people to move away from the Bible being any authority of anything. Seducing spirits are hard at work, blinding the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So, as you know, in our society, in our culture, there are so many different topics, so many different philosophies, so many different beliefs, so many things we can talk about. And who is right? What is right? What is true? This is why it is so important to accurately understand the scriptures. To rightly understand the scriptures, to rightly divide the scriptures. Why? So that we can have a standard for truth. And having a standard for truth, we can then choose to believe what is right. Because if you have no standard for truth, for what is right, then you will be blown about. You will be wandering around. You'll be guessing without a standard for truth. Oh, that sounds pretty good. Wow, I never thought of that. Oh, really? No kidding, where'd you get that from? Oh, that sounds interesting. You know, this lectern up here, how tall is this? Anybody know? 4 feet? Is that it? Anybody else?
4.5 feet.
Anybody else? We're all just guessing. You know how to settle it? Tape measure. Because a tape measure is a standard for what is a right measurement. Just like there's standards for measurements, for weights, And that ends all the arguments. Now, if we measured it and it was four feet, 2 3/4, and somebody went, no, that's not true. Look, this is the tape measure. I don't believe in tape measures. Men made them. They're old-fashioned. They've been around too long. I can eyeball it. Okay. You ever met somebody that eyeballed a room and bought carpet? If you're going to get carpet, make sure the person's not eyeballing it. Might end up short. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. The only way that you and I can stay faithful to God's word, regardless of where the culture is to have the standard for truth so that we can believe what is right and refuse to budge. I'm not moving, period. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what they do. The sleight of men, cunning craftiness, lie in wait to deceive. That word deceive is that same word, planeo again. To cause people to wander. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That's what they do. And so often, those who get deceived and wander from the truth end up helping our enemy, our adversary, by then deceiving others themselves. You know, they become agents. No one is immune. No one's smarter than the deceiver, smarter than the tempter, smarter than the thief or the accuser. Oh, well, I've had the class 55 times. I've read the Bible 95 times. I'm a pretty strong believer. Don't ever get yourself in that position that you think you're smarter, wiser. He's been at it a long time. That's why what we read in Ephesians is what God says to do. Put on the whole armor of God, because you need it. You need it. Every day we have to suit up. Every day it's game time. You know, watching some of the NBA finals, and then the announcers, you know, they come on and they go, you know, last game they didn't even show up. You know, they looked so like they didn't care. They were just not, they just didn't show up, they said. Now, obviously they were there, but for us, we need to show up every single day with the whole armor of God. Because the minute you wake up every morning, it's game on. It's game on. The adversary doesn't take a break. And here in Ephesians, if you're familiar with Ephesians, do you know it goes on to talk about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, that new nature. Without putting on the new man, we will be blown about with every wind of doctrine. Because we are not able to win the battle with our old man nature. Our old man nature ain't worth a crap fighting the adversary. It's the new nature. We put on the new man. We put on the whole armor of God. We put on the new man. We employ, we exercise, we utilize our God-given rights, privileges, and abilities. And if we don't, then the culture will just swallow us up, inch by inch. Back to 1 Peter 5, where we started. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read this verse again, but I just wanted to start in verse 1 if we could. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Sometimes I think about there's a lot of untapped wisdom if people knew where to look and wanted to ask. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore. Wow, three times. Pretty close proximity, right? Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober is more than just, you know, don't be tanked. It means to have whole thoughts. That's pretty difficult to have whole thoughts when you're tanked. But it's more than just that. Have whole, sound thoughts. Be vigilant. Suit up. Show up. Be sharp. Why? Why do I have to do that? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now I'm scared. What do I do? The point of me sharing this today, how to stay faithful regardless of the culture, was not to get us to be all adversary-minded. The devil over there, you know. And sometimes believers get into that mode. Oh, yeah, the adversary's really after me. Yeah, the devil's really kicking my butt. Yeah, the adversary tried this. Yeah, I was driving down the street, and the adversary turned the light red. I wanted to get to some place, and he just turned that light red on me. And then somebody cut in front of me. The devil was doing... Please. Cool your jets. The point in me sharing this was so that we can remember that we do have an adversary, but that God shows us what to do, where he says, be sober, be vigilant, because we have an adversary. Put on the whole armor of God. Put off the old man, put on the new. And now here's what he says to do. Whom, talking about our adversary, verse 9, resist steadfast in the faith. And the article V is there, so it is the right way of believing. Resist means to stand against. Steadfast means firmly and immovable. We are to stand against our adversary firmly and immovable in what? In your opinions. In what you think is right. In what the preacher says. In what you Googled. No. In what the culture is trying to promote to you. No, 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 no. We stand against our adversary firmly and immovable in the right way of believing. We stand against our adversary firmly and immovable on the standard, the right way of believing, period. It's the only way. It's the only way. This is what God says to do. This is how Jesus Christ did it. Remember, he had fasted for 40 days and the devil direct came to him and said, hey, if you're really the Son of God, bet you're hungry. And if you're the Son of God, bet you could turn these stones into bread. Probably hungry, aren't you? And Jesus went, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, period. Okay, well, if you're really the Son of God, it's written in there somewhere. If you throw yourself off this cliff, you know, you won't let your bones break. Go ahead. And Jesus Christ came back and said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Whom resist steadfast in the right way of believing. Whom resist steadfast in the right way of believing. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one going through stuff. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And hallelujah. Philippians 2 to close. Philippians chapter 2. Our culture is, cultures change. And this is the culture we live in. We can get all bummed out about it and why are things this way? Or we can just get planted and stay put on God's word. And our country, the United States of America, our culture really desperately needs the light of God's word. And we can either succumb to what's being promoted and blend in with the rest of the peoples? Or live according to God's word and allow God to teach us and lead us and guide us? Verse 13, for it's God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you blend in. We can either blend in or we can shine as lights in this world. And I think I'd rather shine as a light than blend in. Among whom you shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that as I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's let our light shine, and let's stay faithful to God's word, regardless of where the culture goes. And it'll be a blessing to our lives, and also we'll be able to bless others with the greatness of God's word. Thank you. God bless.